It's 8:46 on a Thursday morning. At this time, each Thursday during the legislative session, we are joined by State Senator Rich Dreheim. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning.
Are you in St. Paul today? Are you up at the Capitol?
Yes, I am in my office in St. Paul.
All right. Well, let's talk about some of the things that we have going on this week. Of course, last week you had the break, the spring break, Easter break, whichever you'd like to call it. But today it's back to work, or I should say this week it's back to work. I guess start off by deadlines. Are we working? Is the focus this week been more on some of the financial stuff, from what I understand?
Yeah, so the tax conformity is a huge issue. That the tax committee has been focused on that almost exclusively. So because the way our state is currently set up, you know, we did a big tax cut last year for the majority of Minnesotans, and then the feds did something, and then now we have to react to the feds, which is very common. Almost everything we do up here is reacting to what the federal government does, sometimes good, sometimes bad. But because we can deduct a lot of our taxes that we pay, and since we are one of the higher tax states, you know, we are affected more by the federal tax changes than most states are.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to conform to the feds and make sure that the citizens of Minnesota aren't hurt by the changes. So most states are going to see a cut, but the higher tax states like California, New York, and Minnesota, you know, we're, depending on who you listen to, we're usually in the top five for tax state. And, you know, it's a whole different debate talking about that, but it's a fact that we're highly taxed. We have a great life. We have a great way of living here in Minnesota. I wouldn't live anywhere else, but we are taxed very highly. Because of that, we have more work to do than I think a lot of other states do on the tax conformity. A lot of moving pieces, and we got to work through it. And we've been working hard on it. So we'll see what we come up with.
Now, is that something that has to be completed by the end of this legislative session? Does it need more time, more work? Is there something that can be done like before the next tax season, or where are you sitting at with that?
My hope is that we do, you know, give relief to the majority of Minnesotans. And, you know, the couple proposals I've seen, one affects like 89% of taxpayers, and the other one's 99% of the taxpayers. That would have no harm done to them or a tax cut. You know, if we do nothing, I think the majority of Minnesotans, well, depending on what price gap you're in or where you're at, you know, we're changing the whole tax structure on a federal level. So it's just, you know, with the standard deductions, raising that level, et cetera. So it'll be interesting to see where we come.
All right. Let's talk about some of the other issues that are going on right now. Mental health and getting some, you know, care and some aid to the mental health workers and expanding that. You've had some conversations on that this week. Tell us about it.
Well, we had a press conference yesterday on some of the bills that we're working on. You know, I have Senator Abler is working on veterans. Senator Goggins is working on agriculture. Senator Rosen's working on schools, high schools, K-12 schools. Senator Senjum's working on centers throughout the state. So we're doing a lot of work on it. I think both sides of the aisle are working on it. We've gone as a state from having a bunch of state-run facilities to having pretty much none or very little. And then in the last 5 years, DHS has closed a lot of the beds that we did have. And the bill that I have is trying to open up or give the option to local hospitals to open up and have beds for either drug treatment or mental health. In my perspective, one of the root problems of school safety and everything else is mental health. And I think sometimes people that are having issues self-medicate, and they kind of go hand in hand. So I think that whatever we do, we need to also include drug treatment with the mental health. And a lot of good people in the area, in the district, are working on it. It's a team effort, and hopefully we can get something done.
Now, you had mentioned that the bill would open up the availability for local hospitals and such to add this type of treatment. Is that prohibited now? I guess I'm understanding, trying to understand that part of it.
Yeah, me too. We do some crazy things up here, you know, and, you know, there's approval needed to have more beds at hospitals. So it's my understanding through NAMI, the main organization that I'm working with to try to get this through, a good group, very involved in the Northfield area and throughout the district. There's 4,800 empty beds throughout the state. And when you talk to people, when you're out knocking on doors and in these town hall meetings and just having meetings with constituents throughout the district, when you bring up mental health, normally after the meeting, someone comes up to me and says, you know, thanks for talking about mental health. So-and-so, you know, we had to bring him or her to Fargo, you know, out of state, South Dakota, to find a bed for them. And adolescent mental health is even in shorter demand. So we have to do something. But yes, the state dictates what hospitals can have for beds. There's a process you have to go through, a bunch of red tape to ask for more beds. And there should be a process. I'm trying to streamline it for mental health and drug treatment.
All right. Once again, State Senator Rich Dreheim from District 20 is our guest right now. We got a press release from your office, I think it was yesterday or maybe the day before, about buffer zones and Governor Dayton's planned to enforce those rules. Tell us about what the governor has done in your position.
Well, you know, it's Governor Dayton's come back and condemned the agency that was trying to enforce rules that were above and beyond the rules or the statute that we passed into law last year. So the enforcement of buffer laws is our concern. And according to Bowser, the board that handles buffer zones, we're 98% in compliance. Great job. You know, we're getting there. And my issue is with what they're trying to enforce and what the statute says, or what the bill that we passed last year on buffers. You know, it's not an attack if we should have buffers or not have buffers. That's already been decided. It's how it's enforced. So you have a 20 board member, board of directors that kind of oversee Bowser, which controls the buffers. And they did not follow the law, in my opinion, you know, not being an attorney, but, you know, I've talked to attorneys that have reviewed the statute, and that's troubling to me. And what's more troubling, there's deputy commissioners from other departments, like Department of Ag, Health, DNR, et cetera, that sit on this board that should know better and should be able to interpret the statute or the law because they're experienced in their own department in their own right. And we see that often, that things aren't followed. So the laws aren't being followed by our own agencies, and that's what was concerning about that. And we had a good hearing yesterday. The governor came out, and I give him credit. You know, he was against what they were doing. He sent out a letter condemning what they did, kind of like what I had done. So I will give him credit that he stepped up and did crack the situation once we brought it to light.
So that has been resolved then?
Well, for now, okay. But who knows what they'll do in the future. And, you know, I think when you talk to the average farmer or the average business person out there, they just want to be left alone. And I think most of us just want to live our lives. We don't want to have to worry about what's going on here in St. Paul. We just want to be left alone to do our thing. And that's not happening. And this was a very abuse of power, setting their own rules. And that was the problem. So, but I appreciate you bringing that up, and I'm glad you got my press release.
Let's talk about, we only have a few more minutes here, but I want to give you an opportunity to talk about some of the things that you've been working on or you'd like your constituents to know. What else is happening up there, Senator Dreheim?
Well, we have a press release today or a press conference today at 11:45 to talk about my health care transparency bill. So the whole goal is to start addressing the cost of health care. We spend a lot of time talking about who's going to pay for it, but we haven't talked about why the prices have gone up so much in healthcare. And I think one of the first steps to me is to identify the cost of healthcare. And it's a real simple bill that starts giving us a good faith estimate. And it's just an estimate. It's not a magic pill. But give us some idea what healthcare is going to cost. So if we go in and have a procedure or need something done, we can expect what it's going to cost. And there's already some language on the books for that, but there's no timeline attached to it. So I've been working really hard on that, give and take with the other stakeholders on it. But you should be able to go in, your care provider, who does good work, and it really isn't the doctor's job to price things. You know, that's done with the administration. But as we have higher and higher deductibles, and going back to those small business people who are hurt probably the most on health insurance, farmers, tradesmen, et cetera, we're paying more and more out of pocket. So it's more important for us to know what things cost because we have a huge deductible. And so it's a step in the right direction. I had a couple hearings this last couple of weeks on my pregnant teen bill, and it just kind of goes to the gap in funding to the local schools on pregnant teens and teen mothers. So graduation rate for pregnant teens or teen mothers is about 50%. If they go to a good full-time program geared towards them, graduation rate goes up to 85%, so higher than the state average. So we're going to spend a little money on the transportation to make sure that the school districts can get them to a program that's designed for people in their situation to graduate. And I think that's a first step, and it's a good investment. And to have that kind of graduation rate, statewide is amazing. So that's a good one.
Do you have some backing behind that? Are you optimistic that it'll go through?
Yes, I am very optimistic. I've had, I think, three hearings on it. Jumping through all the hoops, working the system to try to get it done. And then senior care, been a huge one, and probably one of the most vocal ones that I've heard is a lot of people refer to it, the 7% for the communities that work with disabled individuals. So back, I think it was like 12, 13, and 14, they had a bill up here to increase the pay and kind of band together the pay for people that work in this industry who, in my opinion, are way underpaid. And it gave a raise to some, and it brought some down because there's a huge disparity in pay there per client. Way in the weeds here. But the feds kicked it back. So we get half of our funding for that from the federal government. And the Fed said, no, no, you're breaking the rules here. We can't do this because we had poor language on it. And this is before my time, so I don't know all the details. But now some of these people are facing a 7% cut in pay when they should be getting a 7% increase, in my opinion. It's loving work. You know, they don't do it for the money, but they still need to live. So we're trying to address that. So once again, this is something that came from the federal government, you know, prior to the new government, that kicked it back to us, and now we have to react to it. And now, the scary part is to fix it, it's going to cost a lot of money.
Now, is this state reimbursed money or government reimbursed money that you are reimbursed or that you're looking for to fund more?
Correct.
Okay.
That's my understanding.
Okay.
So we're working through it. I think it's one of the top priorities for us to figure out some relief for this. And I think we'll get there. So we're working hard on it.
All right. Well, Senator, we're out of time. We want to thank you for taking the time and being with us. We certainly appreciate that, and we will look forward to talking to you again next Thursday.
Okay. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Have a good day. State Senator Rich Dreheim from District 20.